many of you are excited today? You're excited today. Let's thank the Lord for the worship team. I'll give it up for them. Oh, we got people sitting inside, outside. We've had two great services last night. We had a lot of people here, a lot of people sitting outside last night. It was kind of cold and windy. And this is a great crowd here today. Give yourselves a hand if you can. Look at all these people. The Bible says in Psalm 118, verse 24, that today is the day that the Lord hath made. And then it says, let us rejoice and be glad in it. So it's the recognition that this is the Lord's day. He made this day. He gave this day to you. And we should rejoice in that. So let's thank the Lord for His goodness if you can. Oh, I want to encourage you to continue to make a difference in this world, not with your opinions, but with your example. Our country is still basically in turmoil in many, many ways. I've never seen anything like this where they're still counting. Certainly, they are in that certification process. But my heart is fully at peace knowing that God is in control. I know this. I believe that many people have erroneously put their trust in a political party. And we are people of faith. We belong to the same family, the family of God. And our trust should never be put in a man. Our trust should only be put in a living God. So always keep your faith and trust in God. Before I preach today, I have one quick announcement. We normally have a tree lighting evening, and we've got a picture where this is what it's looked like last year, where people showed up and we count down 10, 9, 8, and we turn the switch and we light up this 55-foot tall Christmas tree. Because of the pandemic, we're not going to do that, but tonight, between 5 and 7, we're going to have what's called a drive-through Christmas tree lighting. And what that means is that we don't want you getting out of your car, but you come tonight if you want, between 5 and 7. You'll come in at the main parking lot, where the parking structure at the light, and you'll come in. We're actually going to direct you behind this building. You're going to go all the way behind the building, and then you'll come across in front of the church in this direction. You'll be given some type of snack. I don't know what's in there. Hopefully some animal crackers, but I don't know what's in there. But you'll get a gift snack, and then they're going to have live reindeer. This is not Pastor Tim and Pastor Jeff dressed up in reindeer costume. These are actually real reindeer. And then the tree will be lit. Again, it's 55 feet tall. And let's thank the people that put all the Christmas decorations up in the church. And then as you leave, there's some type of snow tunnel where you drive your car through a snow tunnel. And I don't know what that's going to look like. I'm looking forward to it myself. I'll be out there waving, so if you see me, make sure you wave back at me. Last thing, in about 3 weeks, we're going to do another drive-through event for the foster care children. As you know, last year we had this huge event where we had thousands of foster care children where we gave each of them gifts. And if you have a gift or you can, we'd love to have you. You can turn that in tonight. That can be part of that drive-through experience where you drop off your gift, and in 2 or 3 weeks, that gift will be given to one of the foster care children here in the city of Los Angeles. If you can't drop off a gift tonight, you can do it sometime in the next couple weeks. But hopefully, I'll see you back here between 5 and 7 for those of you that want to come back for that. Take your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah chapter 12. Nehemiah chapter 12. If you're a guest here, we've been preaching through the book of Nehemiah. We started all the way back in September. We started this series in September. And we come to the last two messages. We have this sermon, and then next weekend, I will wrap up this series. And how many of you, it's been a blessing for you to go through all this? Chapter 12, by the time we're here at chapter 12, it's the perfect timing to look at this chapter right before Thanksgiving and right before Christmas. People say, well, why are you lighting up that tree? It's not even Thanksgiving. Why are we doing this? Because we need some cheer around here. That's why we're doing it. The earlier the better, as far as I'm concerned. It's an exciting time to be in Jerusalem. By the time you get to chapter 12, after 130, 150 years of those walls lying in ruin, the walls are fully rebuilt. The enemies of God are quiet. God's word has been preached. The internal economic disparity in Judah has been resolved. The commands of God have been reinstated. The people of God have renewed their covenant with the Lord. Chapter 11, the Jewish remnant is still intact. People have moved back inside the walls. The temple is completely rebuilt. The military has been funded. God's blessing is upon them. So by the time you get to Nehemiah chapter 12, it's time. Everybody say it's time. It's time to worship, which is exactly what God had wanted all along. The people of God walking in covenant with God with eyes and hearts focused on Him. God's people, which is His ultimate creation, you and me, worshiping our Creator God with clean hearts and clean hands. Our text today teaches us about worship. Worship is extremely important in life. All of us worship something. Worship is that which you hold most dear in your hearts. Whatever you worship, you become. What you worship and how you worship affects every other area of your life. And as we go through our outline today, I want you to ask yourself this question as we look at what happened in Nehemiah chapter 12 and how they worshiped. I want you to ask yourself this question: is this how we worship? Because this is how we should worship. So I have five actions of worship. And the first, write this down if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, is that the first element of worship is to give thanks. That should be obvious to you. Anytime we gather together for worship, our minds should race to remember all the things that the Lord has done for us. If you have survived 2020, how many of you up to this point, year's not over yet, how many of you have survived so far? You're still here. Raise your hand. All right. That's because of the goodness of God. You're not here because you somehow outthought and outquit the COVID. You outthought it, outtricked it. No, you're here because of the goodness of God. If you're still alive, how many of you are still alive? That's because of the goodness of God. How many of you yesterday, think back to yesterday, you had breakfast, lunch, dinner, you ate something yesterday, you've got something you're going to eat today, and you're probably going to have some food tomorrow. If you have eaten or getting ready to eat, it's because of the provision of God. And if you're saved here today, if you were to kill over and die right now, and you know in your heart that you would go to heaven, that's because of the grace of God. Well, we have a lot to be thankful for. Those people in Nehemiah's day had a lot to be thankful for. They had an incredible leader by the name of Nehemiah. They were thankful for a heathen king by the name of Artaxerxes who allowed the Jewish people to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild those walls. They were grateful for the strength and the fortitude of the people to rebuild and to finish those walls. They were thankful for God's protection against all the opposition that they faced. And they were thankful that God kept the Jewish remnant intact. They had a lot to be thankful for. And so they come to chapter 12, they have this service, like a worship service. I want you to look at Nehemiah 12, verse 27. It says, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with the songs of what? The songs of thanksgiving. The people of Israel chose in chapter 12 to remember all that God had done for them in their lives, and they couldn't help but sing songs of thanksgiving. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, that you and I, as believers, are to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. Somehow a believer can look at any circumstance, whether it's bad or good, and we can find something to be thankful for. The Bible says in Psalm 100, verse 4, that when you enter his gates, when you walked in the doors of this church, you should have entered into this auditorium with thanksgiving. When you enter his courts with praise, giving thanks to him and praising his name. That's just the way we should do things around here. Max Lucado tells the story of when he lived in Brazil. He taught at a university. And one day while he was walking to that university to teach his class, he felt a little tug, and he looked down, and there was a little boy, 5 or 6 years of age, dark beady eyes. He had a dirty face, and he was begging for bread. Now, Max Lucado said that happened everywhere he walked, and usually he would just keep walking, but he said there was something compelling about this little boy that he just couldn't turn away. So he said to the little boy, "Come with me," and they walked into a coffee shop. And Max told the owner, "I'll take a cup of coffee, give the boy any pastry he wants." And Max walked down to the end of the counter to pick up his cup of coffee, thinking that the boy would get his pastry and run back out on the streets as most children did. But not this child. After he got his pastry, he walked down where Max was standing. Max said he was there and he just felt someone staring at him, and he looked down and this boy was just staring at him holding his pastry, and he said to Max, he said, "Thank you. Thank you very much." Lucado said that he was so touched by that boy's thankfulness that he would have bought the boy the whole store if he'd wanted it. He sat there for 30 minutes thinking about that child and how he came back to say thank you. And that's really what worship is, if you want to know the truth. When you come to church every week to worship, you're basically just walking in here just to say thank you to God for everything he's done for you this past week. Amen. The second definite act of worship is to dedicate oneself. To dedicate. And the word dedicate means to set apart. If you dedicate something, you are setting it apart to the glory of God. Most major cities in the ancient world were dedicated to some god, whether it be Apollo or Venus or some other god, lowercase g. And whenever you would approach that city, there would be a monument of that god. There would be a statue of that god, which in essence was proclaiming who it was that owned that city. But if you were Jewish, if you're Jewish, you're forbidden to make a statue of a god. So instead of making a statue or a monument, you would just dedicate spiritually a city to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which means that everything in that city was dedicated to Jehovah God with a capital G. In Nehemiah chapter 12, the people were conducting a dedication service for the walls of Jerusalem, which means what they were doing, they were dedicating everything that took place inside those walls to God. That entire city was dedicated to God. That the families that lived inside those walls were dedicated to God. The businesses that existed inside those walls were dedicated to God. The children that lived inside those walls were dedicated to God. Verse 27 says, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication. They were dedicating these walls, yes, but they weren't just dedicating brick and mortar. They were dedicating everything, again, that took place inside those walls. Here at Shepherd Church, when we built this building, we had a dedication service in here. And we dedicated the walls, the building itself. We dedicated the platform. We dedicated the land that this building sits on. We dedicated everything to the glory of God. Now, we weren't dedicating brick and mortar. What we were dedicating was everything that takes place inside these four walls. Everything that takes place on this platform. Everything that happens on this piece of property, we were dedicating it to the glory of Almighty God. Now, we have what we usually have is what we call a worship service that lasts about an hour. You come here for an hour. And the mistake we make is when we think that we're dedicating ourselves to the Lord for this 1 hour. And that's not how it works. When you dedicate yourself or this church or the walls of Jerusalem, you're not dedicating them just for that 1 hour. What you're saying is that from that moment forward, that everything that happens there will be done to the glory of God. And so that when we dedicated this facility to God, we were saying, as we come in here and worship week after week, we're saying, Lord, we are dedicating our lives. We're dedicating our marriages. We're dedicating our homes. We're dedicating our present. We're dedicating our future to the glory of God from this point forward. For years, Gordon MacDonald, he took the same bus every day from his house to the church where he served in New York City. And he was best friends or became friends with the bus driver after all those trips. And one day, the bus driver said to Gordon MacDonald, he said, you know, Pastor, you have it better than me. You have an interesting job. You get to travel and go to different places and do things. He said, I have to drive the same old bus down the same old streets in the same old city day after day after day. And Gordon MacDonald looked at the bus driver and said, sir, you should see your job as a ministry. What you need to do is to dedicate this bus to the glory of God. Pretend that this bus is the sanctuary of God, consecrated, and act like it's a place where God dwells. It will change everything about your job if you'll see it that way. Several weeks went by. MacDonald returned from a trip. He saw the bus driver, and the bus driver said, you were correct. You transformed my job, my perspective, because now every morning before I get on this bus to drive, I say, God, may you dwell in this bus and may you open up doors of opportunity for me to serve the people that come in and out of this bus. And now from that point forward, he saw his job from a whole new perspective. Listen, we dedicated this building to the glory of God, and worship is a weekly reminder. It's a weekly statement that my life, my family, my marriage, my business, my heart belongs to a holy God. Amen. Number three, let's clap. Come on, let's clap. Y'all got to wake up. Number three, worship is to celebrate. Everybody say celebrate. Celebrate. I mean, that's basically what a worship service is. You're saying thank you, you're dedicating your life, but you're also celebrating. And I want to read some verses here in chapter 12, and I'm actually going to come back at the end of the sermon and explain some of this, but look at verse 27 again. This is the third time we've read through this verse. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem to do what?
Celebrate.
To celebrate. What's the next word?
Joyfully.
The dedication with songs of thanksgiving and with music of cymbals and harps and lyres. So it was loud. They were celebrating joyfully. Look at verse 28. The singers, they had singers there. They were brought together from the region all around Jerusalem. They brought people in there to sing. Skip over to verse 31. He had the leaders of Judah go up on the wall. And I've not explained this to you, but when they rebuilt these walls, it wasn't like a 2-foot wall. These walls were, we believe, because they've done archaeology work, we believe that these walls were like 8 to 9 feet wide. So you could walk up on them. And so what happens in verse 31, he had the leaders of Judah go up on the top of the wall. He also assigned two large choirs. Now, one choir or two choirs? How many choirs? Two. Are they little choirs, medium-sized choirs, or are they large choirs? Which is it? He had two large choirs that were assigned to give thanks. One was to proceed on top of the wall to the right, toward the dung gate. Skip down to verse 38. It says that the second choir proceeded in the opposite direction, which I'll explain that later on, I followed them on top of the wall together with half the people past the Tower of the Ovens to the broad wall. And then look at verse 40. The two choirs that gave thanks then took their places in the house of God. Now, why do we sing? Why are, you know, people ask this sometimes. You know, some people never go to church. They walk in here the first time. They can't figure out why do we sing. And the reason we sing is that we're celebrating. Well, what are we celebrating? We're celebrating that because God is good, even though oftentimes we're not very good. God never fails when we fail all the time. God is love, and oftentimes we're not very loving. We were lost, but now we've been found. We were once blind, but now we see. That's why we celebrate. I'm convinced that church, at times, it should be like a party in here. Now, I've always had a little tug of war with the worship people. Now, how many of you like our worship? You love all of our worship? Oh, they're the best. But I will tell you, for 30 years, I've always had a tug of war with them. Behind the stage. Because they're always wanting to sing songs slow and quietly. And I'm always saying to them, faster, speed that song up. Let's make it livelier. It should be like a celebration in here. Why? Because we are here to celebrate a living Savior, a King who conquered the grave. That's why we're here. I've been to so many churches where there's no life and no joy. It was like everyone must have been baptized in dill pickle juice or something. Some folks come to church looking like they had to shoot Old Yeller this last week. I heard about a preacher once who said if he had to choose between joining a church or joining a funeral home, that he would join the funeral home because at least they smile every once in a while at the funeral home. You know, back when all the pandemic stuff has all come down, that, you know, Governor Newsom, he shut the churches down. And we're here today in violation of his mandate. Which is not, it's not, some of you say, why, some of you get upset if I even mention his name. And it's like, you have no idea what we've done arguing with that guy behind closed doors. You just don't know what's happened. And so we are kind of fighting. And you know, he said first of all, he said you can't meet right now. We're not supposed to be meeting. They come out every week. I told you this. They come out every week and fine us every week. They come for 3 months. They've been coming out. They fine us $500 per service. You can do the math. They go to our other campuses and fine us $500 every week. And we have to pay it, so we pay it. But we were talking, this is like his people were talking to my people. Do you know what I'm talking about? We're actually on the phone with his office, okay? And he said, can't meet indoors. Okay. Can we meet outdoors? You can meet outdoors. He says, you can meet outdoors. I said, okay. But he goes, this is on the phone. No singing allowed. No singing. His office said, no singing. I said, what? Even if we're outdoor, we can't sing? Yes, even if you're outdoor, you cannot sing outdoors. I said, okay. And then he said this. This is when I wasn't mad until he said this. He said, you can't quote the Lord's Prayer. Yeah, he said, you cannot quote the Lord's Prayer. So when he said that, that's when I got mad. Okay, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So then I asked him this. I asked him this question. I said, what if we're outdoors and we have masks on and we're socially distanced? Can we sing? It's like a long pause. They came back and said, No singing. If you're outdoors, mask on, socially distanced, you cannot sing. He said that to us. Now, when I tell that story to people, and I just told it to you, some people get upset at that.
They go, oh, I can't believe that he's not going to let us sing.
You know what I thought the first time I heard that? That didn't make me mad at all. Saying I couldn't say the Lord's Prayer, that made me mad. But when he said, the churches cannot sing, and everybody got all upset about it, I thought, are you kidding me? People don't sing anyway. We spend every week trying to get people to sing. We beg people to sing. We can't get people to sing. You telling us we can't sing is nothing. And I've done it. I've walked in here sometimes. I've peeked behind the corner. I've stood on the side. I've looked. And literally about half of us don't sing anyway. Don't even sing at all. Some people just sit there like this. But when you walk into church, you ought to be so happy, so giddy, so excited. Like, we're gonna have a party. We're gonna celebrate that Jesus is no longer in the grave. And the Bible says even the rocks cry out the praise to a living God. Too many churches have become mausoleums for the dead rather than coliseums of praise for a living God. Oh, I'm going to say that again. Too many churches have become mausoleums for the dead rather than coliseums of praise for a living God. Nehemiah in chapter 8, verse 10 said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. We as Christians can celebrate irregardless of our circumstances in our lives because our joy, our strength, our salvation, our eternity comes from the Lord. If you can cheer for the Lakers, you ought to be able to come to church and cheer for God. If you can cheer that the Dodgers won the World Series, Tim Johnston, you ought to be able to come to church and cheer for God. If you can cheer for a political candidate, a presidential candidate, you ought to be able to cheer for God. If you can cheer for a parking space, you ought to be able to come to church and cheer for God. Amen, 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 amen. Number four, quickly. Worship is to purify. The fourth deliberate act of worship is to purify. We don't like talking about this, but verse 30 says that when the priest and the Levites had purified themselves ceremonially, then they then purified all the people, and then they went over there and they purified the gates, and then they went over there and they purified the wall. They purified everything. Why? Because they knew what we often forget, that the God we serve is a holy God. We are called to be holy people. We are to be set apart from this world. Sometimes you might have seen the initials in a decal, N-O-T-W, and you ask yourself, what is N-O-T-W? It stands for not of this world. We wear the name of Christ. We represent Christ in this lost and crazy world. Now, I know that I cannot make myself clean, that no matter how hard I try, I fail, and I fail often, but Jesus makes us clean. We are purified by His shed blood. But there's an element of worship that when you come before God with open hands and an open heart, that your heart and your life should be pure. James 4:8 tells us, come near to God and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts double-minded. What does that mean? Well, what that means is, as you come to church and you worship God and you do like this, you can't then leave church and the rest of the week these same hands are involved in unclean things. That's being double-minded. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, look at these words. It says, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates The body and spirit, look at this next phrase, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. What does that mean? That means that you have such a reverence for God as you look at God, as you worship God, that if you see anything in your heart, your body, your mind, anything in here that might seem out of place, that you say, oh God, I don't want to be involved in those things. I only want to worship you. I want to perfect the holiness in me just out of reverence for you. That's what worship is, coming to church, saying thank you, God, dedicating yourselves, celebrating, but also purifying our hearts and our hands. Here's what David prayed, and this is a big prayer, Psalm 139. He said this to God. Have you ever prayed this prayer to God? He said, search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any, if there is anything offensive, if there's anything out of place in me, Lord, show that, reveal that to me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. See, worship truly is walking in here and being honest before God. And as you come to worship God, then you see if there's any imperfection. It's not like you're already saved, but you're just saying, God, out of my love and respect and reverence for you, I just, if there's anything offensive in me, reveal that to me, and I'll stop doing those things just out of love and respect and reverence for you. As we close, number five, quickly, worship is to sacrifice. And verse 43 says, and on that day, everybody say that day, they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great what? Joy. It's interesting that when people come to truly worship and they're truly thankful and they have dedicated themselves and they've realigned themselves with the Word of God and they celebrate the risen Savior with clean hands and clean hearts, that all of a sudden that they sacrifice joyfully. It's not even difficult at all. I believe that God gave them that joy because they were grateful, because they had pure hearts, and they understood that everything they had came from a living God, and so they gave sacrificially. It was a part of their worship. They honored God with their giving. I want to tell you a couple things. Well, first thing, I just want you to think about something. I really want you to understand that for eight months, we have not taken up an offering at this church. Not taken up an offering. One of the criticisms of the church, I hear it all the time, I see it all the time. Oh, all you care about is money, the church. So, okay, well, we were shut for 5 months. We've been open for 3 months. We've not passed an offering plate in three. We've not passed an offering plate in 8 months. Think about that. 8 months. No offering plate came by you. In 8 months. It's almost a year. Somehow the lights are still on. Do any of you get electric bills at your house? You ought to see the electric bill that our church has. That's why we just put solar panels up on top of this bad boy. Okay. Somehow when you flush the toilet flushes here at this church. The water in the baptistry is still warm. The pillars of fire are still pillars of fire out there. Amen. Yeah, we haven't taken up an offering in 8 months. We have a lot of expenses here. We have a staff. We support missionaries all over this globe. I want you to hear me. The last 8 months, if you go back before COVID, week after week after week. Shut five, been here in three. No, the last 8 months, our offerings have basically remained the exact same levels. What? How is that possible? It's possible because what happened is that people continue to give even through the pandemic. When we were shut, we had less expenses here at the church. So what we did is we actually increased a lot of the missionary giving because missionaries are suffering. You know, the pandemic is a global pandemic. And so there's missionaries all over the globe, and I know that there's all been all kinds of churches that have cut back on their missionary giving, and we were able to go to a lot of our missionaries and increase our missionary giving by quite a bit because of you. And I say all that to say to you, as I look at that, the reason we've continued like that is because we are a church, I believe, full of mature people. We are a giving people, and we understand that that's a part of honoring God, and you have indeed honored God these last 8 months, and I thank you for that. Just want to thank you for that. Now, the last thing, I want to go back and show you one more thing. You remember those two choirs back in verse 31? Remember those two choirs? And I told you I was going to tell you about them? Here it is. This is going to be a blessing. So if you remember, the walls go all the way around the city, okay? And he gets not one choir, he gets two choirs. He gets large choirs, two of them. And if you remember what you read, he put them up, the first choir, he got them up on the wall, and they turned right. And it said there, I think it was in verse 38, that the second choir, they got up on that wall and went in the opposite direction. You remember that? So what they did, that second choir, they went in the opposite direction. They went all the way south, behind and around, up on the wall. So now we've got one choir is on the eastern wall, and one choir is now on the western wall, and they both go towards the north up to the top of those walls because up north was where the temple was. And the entire time they're on those walls, they're singing. They're shouting. They're celebrating. They're giving thanks. You remember? And they're rejoicing. You remember that? I want to look at this last, here's the last verse. Verse 43. It says, "And on that day they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced." And then it says that the sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far, far away. It wasn't necessarily a song or a note. It wasn't the clapping of their hands or the stomping of their feet on that wall. What could be heard? Rejoicing. What is rejoicing? That is something that was inside of these choirs. It wasn't the note. It wasn't the word that they were singing. There was this internal joy and rejoicing that resonated all over Jerusalem as far, far away. I want to show you a video. It's 50 seconds. And then I'm going to pray us out. Okay, you got 50 more seconds? You got 50 more seconds? Okay. So there's a young girl who grew up in our church. Her name is Riley Reynolds. She's the daughter of Ray and Renee Reynolds, longtime members of this church. They had a little girl grow up in this church, and this girl went off to college, and she went to Liberty University, and she's in the choir. So I'm going to show you a 50-second version a concert that they'd sung. This is 50 seconds. They sing one word. It's the word amen. Okay. But what I want you to see is the joy that is inside the hearts of these young people. It's not the letter or the note. It wasn't the word amen. That doesn't really do much for me. But it's the way they sung. The Spirit of God that was within them is what resonates through that auditorium and will resonate with you here right now. I want you to see this choir, 50 seconds. I'll pray us out. All right, here's the video. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. You see that point? That's what we ought to be like when we come to church. It's not that you sing in perfect pitch, but there ought to be some energy coming out of you that's just like this joy that just flows out of you, that just resonates with everybody sitting around you, and it resonates from outside of this church. I'm telling you, people walk in here. We got this incredible worship team up here. Some of the best peewee over there on the. Oh, there's Nico. Oh, Nico. Nico. That Nico, that girl can sing. That girl can sing. Oh, there's Christine. That Christine, she cries every time she gets up there. Listen, it doesn't matter who's up here on this stage. We are coming in here to have a worship service and to focus on a holy God. To express our gratitude for all that He's ever done for us. To dedicate ourselves to Him. To celebrate. To purify our hearts and our hands. And to live from this point forward, fully dedicating our lives, knowing everything we have belongs to Him, and together, the rejoicing that takes place in here ought to be the difference in this crazy city in which we live. There should be something different in us that's in everybody else. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. God, thank you for church today. Thank you for this series. Thank you for chapter 12. It took us a while to get to chapter 12, but I'm so thankful that we have this chapter where the walls are completed and they have this dedication service. And I just wish we could somehow go back and be a part of that day. And yet, God, I know that you wrote all that so that we could apply it to this day. Thank you that we have dedicated this building and this facility to your honor, to your glory, that everything that happens here is to be done in your name. And I just pray that our church, week after week, when we walk into here, that we're really walking in here prepared to worship you. God, I pray that you would search our hearts, and if there is anything in our heart that doesn't belong there, we ask, God, that you would reveal that to us and lead us down the path of everlasting. God, I ask your blessing on every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. I pray that all of us today will dedicate ourselves to you and see that that's part of why we're here today. I do ask, God, that you would bring us back safely next week as we wrap up this great book called Nehemiah. And God, just thank you for this church. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for the way, even through the pandemic, they've continued to serve and to honor you in both word and deed. I pray tonight, God, that we will be reminded of the Christmas story as we come back to light up that tree and to be reminded of the truth that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, came into this world. And I pray that we will always remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. Blessings upon each person. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. God bless you, and thank you for coming to church.